Hello, Mixed Nut Cases. This is Nuke Joss, and it is day 24 in the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge, and you're listening to Nutty Bites. So tonight, I guested on Geek Radio Daily, or Geek Radio Weekly, whatever you want to call it, GRD. It'll always be Geek Radio Daily to me, even though they don't come out daily. It was a Let's Celebrate PG Holyfield episode. I was quite happy. I did not cry during it at all, but it was basically us remembering wacky stories about PG. There will be more time to celebrate PG Holyfield. October 11th, 2014 is going to be the day. It's a Saturday. People can share and celebrate the man that should give us enough time to get past the grieving. There's a Facebook event. You can go and find it. If you're having trouble, let me know. Please share the information. Let people know that this is going to be happening because we don't want anyone to feel like they're left out. We don't want anyone to think, well, how come nobody told me about this? So please help us. Help us get the word out. You can still donate to help his daughters if you go to gofundme.com/pgfund. Just drop a couple of bucks or however many bucks you want to drop. You can even post a nice note there. His daughters will read it. His family will read it. His friends will read it. It's very nice to see all of that stuff, to see other people's stories. And the GRD is going to be possibly up tomorrow, says Billy. We'll see. But take a look for it. It should be pretty funny. He's got some really great old sound clips that he's got of PG that are just hilarious. But that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight. Tonight, I had promised a while ago that I would talk about these monthly challenges, you know, do something every day for a month. And I know some people kind of poo-poo it, you know, like, well, why just do it for a month and why do these things daily? Well, it's an exercise to prove to yourself what you can do. It's an exercise to prove to yourself what something is actually like. To tell you the truth, I mean, doing a podcast every day, I know Dave Schlusher was saying that he's getting to his limit on it, but it's not that bad. It's not that hard. Especially once I just plug in the H2 and do that, it's a lot easier than anything else. Although once I get my mixer set up, that would be even easier. That's one more step taken away. Still got to get that set up, but it's a little crowded in here right now. So, the different challenges I have done, NaNoWriMo, I did that a couple of times. I did NaNoWriMo where I did, a fiction. It wasn't sci-fi or any speculative fiction at all. I did it. It was a very personal story for me. It was fiction, but it was very personal. It helped me work through some things. I never released it because when I went back to edit, I realized, God, this is boring. But it was nice for me and it was a good exercise. I won it that year. No problem. And the best thing I got out of that was I was living in a community that I knew no one. And my husband was away. Was he overseas or was he on course? I can't even remember. No, he must have been on course. I think he was back from overseas because I didn't spend that much time in that area when he was overseas. It introduced me to a circle of friends and I had no friends, you know. So all of a sudden I had this circle of friends and two of which... I mean, there are quite a few that are very special to me, but two of which I still communicate with often. And when we left the East Coast, I made sure that I saw those two. You know, those two were the, we made a trip to Nova Scotia. We visited the zoo. We visited a good friend of Tex, also friends of ours. And we made sure that we had dinner with those two people because they were pretty much my rocks. You know, they were very special to me. And so that's what NaNoWriMo did for me that first year is it gave me a circle of friends. It gave me a feeling of community and finally opened up my eyes to what I was living in and made me enjoy the area. It also proved to me, yeah, I can write and writing's not that hard. Did it prove to me I could write something that somebody would want to read? No, but it proved to me that I could do it. And I hadn't written a book since I was in high school. When I was in high school, I used to fill notebooks because if they saw me drawing, I was in trouble, but I could fill notebooks and they thought I was taking notes. And I would write books back then. I could write about anything, all sorts of things, fantasy, sci-fi, literature, you know, you name it, just write. Loved it. But I never really could quantify how much was I writing. Was that, you know, at any kind of a level? And I remember doing the word sprints, and I was always pretty good. I wasn't the best, I'll tell you that much, but I was pretty good. I could hold my own. So I was like, okay, writing's not that hard. And, you know, I used to role play, so that was a lot of writing, and my role play posts would get longer and longer. So, you know, I could do that. I could come up with some fun stories that engaged people. People remembered the characters. So that was nice. So it was nice to see that I could take something, a skill that I had, and turn it into a book. It is not a book that I would release, but it is a book. I may go back someday and add like a supernatural edge to that story. Because I think if I went back and I did the whole Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies thing, like that treatment to that story, it could be interesting because it has the potential to be interesting, but I'm just bored with it. Next I did Art Month. No, I'm sorry. No, next I did Script Frenzy. That's what I did next. And Script Frenzy is an offshoot of NaNoWriMo. And the idea is to write scripts or comic books. And so what I did is, using Bitstrips, I had made a comic book. And what I did was I did a page a day. And at that point, Bitstrips allowed you to do more than just three panels. And so I set up this whole thing and I did a page a day. I think it was more than three panels at that point. Anyway, if you go on to nimlas.org, you should be able to find the images. I don't think the Bitstrips, well, I think the Bitstrips may still be on Bitstrips, but you can't link the Bitstrips. Once they started going into apps, everything else went downhill. So I did that, and it was a whole vampire story, and it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, making fun of other vampire stories. And I left it open to do a sequel, and I had every intention to come back and do a werewolf story next with the same characters, but things got in the way and that didn't happen. But it was fun, and it kind of proved to me that I could do a long-running series. I had never done a full series like that before. I had tried to do a webcomic way back when, and I think I had like 7 or 9 issues before I gave up. So that was fun. And doing it with Bitstrips meant that I didn't actually have to draw every panel, so that made things a lot easier. Then I did Art Month, which I dubbed Daily Creativity. It started out where I don't like giving things up for Lent, because to me that just feels like punishment, and it doesn't, you know, bring you closer to God or anything. And for those of you who aren't religious, don't worry, I'm not going to get all preachy. This is just a personal thing for me. For me, Lent was always focusing yourself, giving yourself, you know, once a year for 40 days, you remind yourself, okay, it's time to stop thinking of myself and thinking of the world at a higher place, you know, and what it is to be in this world and spiritual. And giving things up, not helpful for me. It's just not the way I work. So I always took things on, or I did as an adult. When I was younger, I used to give things up because that's what I thought you were supposed to do. So I took things on, and I was getting increasingly frustrated. And my husband's like, well, you're not drawing enough. You need to draw more. And he was right. When I'm not drawing, I'm frustrated and I can't think clearly. So for Lent, I did daily creativity, and I did one creation, you know, one drawing or painting or whatever, for 40 days. And then doing NaNoWriMo again. And this time when I did NaNoWriMo, I did a cyberpunk-esque story. I had a lot of fun with that. I didn't finish it. I reached my word count, but I didn't actually finish the book, and it's still kind of in progress. I keep going back to it and adding it. I just need to figure out how to get everything, all the pieces together, and make everything work into a cohesive story. So I keep writing and adding to it and then taking away. It's the never-ending project. But I got this idea. There were other artists in the group that I wanted to do NaNoWriMo, but for art. And I was already doing this whole art, you know, daily creativity thing. So I thought with the people in the group, we said we would do this whole art month. And I tried to do it, and it ended up being only me. Nobody else did it. We put all this effort into it. Nobody did it. But I've been doing it every year. So it's usually Lent and also the month of March. So if Lent starts after March, I do it all through March. If Lent goes past, I continue until Lent is over, you know. So it ends up being 40 days or longer, depending, you know. So I do that. And that is enough of the kick in the pants that gets me creating through the rest of the year. And I stop doing it every single day, but I keep going. You know, it gives me the momentum, much like NaNoWriMo kept me writing. This kept me creating, although this had more of a root for me. You know, it really takes root because for me, drawing is far more important than writing. And then, let's see, then I did NaNoWriMo again. I think I've done NaNoWriMo 3 times, yeah. And then the third time what I did was I wrote a book, but it was a children's book, so there's not many words. So I wrote the book and I did a page a day for the illustration. And that's, I talked about that on another episode. And so that was fantastic. And again, you know, a lot of people say, oh, there's these repeat NaNoWriMo people that don't do anything with it. And you know what? Some people don't. And some people that will write a book and they'll publish it right away. And they haven't learned anything and they don't understand you can't publish your first draft. But some people, it really gives them a kick in the pants. And for some people, it shows them that they can be writers. You know, Brian Gamblin, somebody who wrote a book for NaNoWriMo and then ended up editing it and publishing it and started writing more books. And that's fantastic. You know, some people can create some really great things. Some people are just doing it for fun. And you know what? That's okay. If you're just doing it for fun, go right ahead. There's nothing wrong with that. Does doing NaNoWriMo once make you a writer? Maybe not. You know what makes you a writer? Writing. You know what makes you an artist? Drawing, painting, whatever, creating art. You know what makes you a podcaster? Speaking into a microphone and releasing your episode via RSS. It's all it takes. There's no skill level. There's no performance level that you have to meet in order to do these things. So I just get annoyed sometimes with the people who are very negative about it. And I understand, yes, there's people that think that they're writers and they try to publish their first drafts, or they write and write and write and never do anything with it. And you know what? That's okay if that's what they want to do. I remember in our NaNoWriMo group, which was a full writing group as well, that met throughout the year, there was a young person there who didn't want to show anyone. Ooh, fly just flew in my face. Didn't want to show anyone her work, you know, because she didn't want to get criticism because she couldn't handle it. And she wasn't able to accept criticism yet. And that was fine. And then some of us would give each other our samples of our work and ask for harsh criticisms. And we would get it. And it was wonderful. And after a couple of years, the person who couldn't take criticism was handing out her work and asking for criticism. Because you know what? It took her doing NaNoWriMo a couple of years, and it took her being in a writing group for a while to finally get the confidence to be able to handle that. Not everyone can handle criticism. I went to art school, so we had to learn how to take criticism fast. Because when you are an artist, like I'm a graphic artist, when I'm dealing with customers, they're not nice. And I have to deal with them telling me that my designs are ugly, yucky, stupid, not what they want, a million other things. And they're not constructive when they criticize at all. And half the time it's, oh, I wanted it this way. Meanwhile, they're contradicting what they said last time. And then you go back and you do what you did originally. And then they're like, that's perfect. Why didn't you do that the first time? Actually, that's not true. It is for some, but I have to say my main customers are a million times better than that. They're pretty fantastic, which is why they're my main customers. They keep coming back because they're pretty awesome and they're happy with what I do. But that's not the point of this story. The thing is, you get used to criticism. So for me, taking criticism on my writing, easy. For other people, it might be more difficult and it'll take them time. But you know what? Going through these kinds of daily challenges, it works. This past year, I did something which was called Fashion February, which Tech does not like the term fashion because he says it's just fashion. Just because it's on fat people, it doesn't make it any different. But the idea is that you take a picture of your outfit and you post it online, and it ends up giving you confidence, but it also puts your body type out there for other people with the same body type to see so that they don't feel alone. And for me, it was a very rewarding experience because it filled me with confidence, and I got so much feedback from people who were not able to do that. They were not able to put their image out there, because putting your image out there for the world to see and criticize is difficult because people are not nice and the internet is mean. But for me, it was great because it gave me the confidence and I felt like I was giving them confidence. So that brings me to doing the dog days of podcasting. And this is something that I have seen in the past. And I thought, that's a really cool idea. I don't think I could do a daily podcast. And then last year, I had been listening to some of them in the years past. And then last year, I was really listening to them. And I said, you know what? I really want to do this. I want to do this. This sounds like so much fun. And I said to myself, all right, next year you're doing this no matter what. And then I found out we were going to be moving. And I said, oh my gosh, can I do this while moving? And I said, nope, you have to do it anyway. There's no backing out. You made a deal with yourself. So I've been podcasting every day for almost a month, for 24 days, and I'm happy with it. I'm a lot more relaxed, I think. I'm a lot less nervous. Are people liking it? I don't know, but I'm liking it and I'm having fun. And I'm listening to the others in the feed. And I will say that most of my other podcasts are going unlistened to right now because I'm just listening to the dog days of podcasting and then I'll listen to my music. But I'm liking it. And it does kind of feel like the old days of podcasting. Everybody's saying that it reminds them of the early days. See, I've only been podcasting since 2011, but I've been listening since 2004, 2005, somewhere in there. My first podcast that I listened to, well, there were three podcasts, I think, that were, or yeah, the first three that I can remember was this one geeky girl who turned me on to watching Jeremiah and listening to Merle Lafferty's Geek Foo Action Grip. That's it. I'm like, what the heck was the name? Because I was thinking, I'm like, Geek Foo Morning? No, that's not it. That's what it turned into. It's that Geek Foo Action Grip and Sci-Fi Dig. And then I found some other podcasts through that, like Sci-Fi Dig. I think I found The Signal eventually through them. And I found Slice of Sci-Fi. You know, these are This Week in Tech. These are the early ones. And it's kind of this idea that everybody was listening to everybody else's shows. And it was like that. I mean, like there were, when Podio Books started, there were like three books, you know, not really, but that's what it felt like sometimes. Everybody did listen to everybody else's show. And when somebody would reference another podcast, you knew exactly what they were talking about. So that you do get that feel. And so that's a lot of fun. After doing this for, doing this daily, I don't know what it's going to do for my podcasting regularly, but it's made me love podcasting. So this is good. I'm happy to do the challenge. I enjoy doing these monthly challenges of daily items and pushing myself and seeing what I can do. And could I do it for a full year? No, but having that finite starting point and stopping point, I can do anything for a month. I could do anything for a month. So it's fun. And it's nice to challenge yourself and it's nice to shake things up. And I've met some really cool people that I didn't really talk to before. And some people that I haven't talked to in years, I'm talking to again. And some people that I talk to all the time anyway. We're still talking, which is good. But yeah, this is a good thing. So if you find yourself thinking, well, there's this month challenge where I'm supposed to do something every day. And you think, I don't know if I can do it. Shut up. Just do it. Because you know what? If you fail, so what? What does it hurt? You know, for the people that don't make their NaNoWriMo word count, does it hurt them? Does it make them any less of a writer? Does it make them any less of a person? No. For the people who weren't able to do every single day for the dog days, did that change anything? No. But they still went out there and they tried and they became part of it. And you're part of the community, you know? Each of these challenges, there's other people doing it. And when there's other people doing it, you feel like you're part of this community and you're able to try things that you might not have tried before, but because you have the support, you can do it. Like try doing NaNoWriMo in July. You know, not having that support of other people doing it, it's a little bit harder. I mean, that's just writing then, right? So if you find yourself looking at a challenge like this, I implore you, do it. You will have fun. And now you can listen to a promo for another awesome podcast.
Do you like listening to audio science fiction? Are you a fan of writers reading their work? My name is Mike Luoma. By day, I play tunes on the radio. The rest of the time, I'm creating science fiction and comic books. And I bring my two worlds together each week with my glow-in-the-dark radio podcast, where I read you my stuff. You hear free science fiction audio adaptations every week. And I give away the audio versions after I've podcast them, too. Free science fiction audiobooks on iTunes and at podiobooks.com. I hope you'll check out my glow-in-the-dark radio podcast or any of my free science fiction audiobooks at glowinthedarkradio.com. I'm Mike Luoma. Thanks for listening.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.